Hey, y'all are listening to Big Fact Snowcap with Paul and Adrian, the only podcast that's number one with ancestors and old-timey jesters. Ooh, wait, Phil just sent me his rhyme. Oh, his rhyme was number one with genealogists and TV sponsorships. Ooh, that's better. Pretend I said that. Let's get into this episode of Big Fact Snowcap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Oh man, you know, do you ever have this thing? I don't know about you. I don't know how often you've moved or whatever, but And this isn't like a partner thing where like, oh, I don't know where this hoodie went. And it's like, you know, an ex stole it or whatever. I have shirts that I very vividly remember having that I just never found again. And it's like, what was I doing with that shirt? I wasn't taking it off to celebrate a goal celebration. How did I just lose a shirt in between moves or something? It's like I clearly had, and I know Earl made fun of them when he left Odd Future, but like, one of those, you know, Easter egg yellow with balloons all over it from Zoomies, Odd Future Wolfgang Kill Them All shirts.
Looking like
I wore it
like
once or twice. Yeah. And I don't know where that went. Like, no one took it, I assume. And I never like took it off anywhere. Like, how did I lose a shirt? Was it at the laundromat? I don't know. Like, yeah, just very perplexing. And that's happened to multiple shirts that I can think of. It's not like a pair of socks. I just don't know. I really don't understand it.
Damn.
Yeah.
Welcome to episode one of Serial.
Where are Adrian's fucking shirts? What happened to my Chelsea Grin shirt? I'd love to still have that shirt.
This is going to be five hours of podcasting split up into 1 hour episodes of us like looking through old photographs of the last time we saw your shirt, interviewing people who are like, yeah, I do remember Adrian wore that shirt. Wasn't a real nice guy while he was wearing it, though.
Anyways, what's going on with you, Paul? What have you been up to?
Not much, man. Also, this episode is one of our bonuses, so it's not going to come out till way later.
Oh, yeah. Was I supposed to bring a timeless rec? Did I have a timeless rec?
I forgot
I
was working to on a think timeless of one rec. Ahead of time. Let's think of one real quick.
Okay, yeah. I had one, but I haven't actually finished it yet.
You know what? Here, let's do a timeless rec for each other. One of Adrian's timeless recs is from Indian Lakes. Their first album... what's their first album?
Absent Sounds. Oh, wait, no, their first album is The Man with Wooden Legs.
Their second album, Absent Sounds, has a picture of a guy kind of, it's like on a white background and his face is becoming like a tree. Great album. Check it out.
There it is. Right below my butterfly poster.
That's Adrian's Timeless Rec.
And Paul's Timeless Rec, you know, you would think Luca Brasi, pretty good. Luca Brasi, too. I mean, that's too much Luca Brasi. And then Luca Brasi 3. Come on now. But it works.
Those are timeless Gates. Albums, yeah.
Luca Brasi 3.
Well, I'll give Luca Brasi 2 is the most timeless.
The most timeless. Not your favorite, but the most timeless.
The most timeless. The one that'll hold up to... That's the one they'll be talking about, like they talk about Shakespeare, like he invented new words.
Right. Kill Mary Fuck. Luca Brasi 1, Luca Brasi 2, Luca Brasi 3.
That's too hard, man. I can't kill any of them, although I would definitely kill off 3, but...
Ooh, okay. All right, my man.
I mean, come on now. Luca Brasi... Wait, no. I was going to say Luca Brasi 1 has IHOP at the end. Yeah, you can't get rid of IHOP. You know I love my IHOP story.
Come on now. Okay, yeah, so no topical roundup, right?
No, unless you want to talk about what you will be doing. Any plans finalizing for your trip? Do you know what you want to visit?
Oh, we need your Nashville recs, but mostly we're trying to do accommodations right now, so we're all...
How about your trip to Argentina?
I mean, my parents are taking the reins on that one. I mean, there are times where they're like, if you guys want to go to the city and do stuff, you're free to.
That's why I always call your dad Rudolph, because I'm like, he just takes the reins on it, you know?
Hey, yeah. Come on now. You can't handle these bars. No, that's their trip. We got invited on it, so like, whatever they want to do, I'm willing to do. And my mom is obviously a big partier, so I'm like, there'll be fun stuff to do. No, that's all on everybody else, man. I've already got enough on my hands trying to corral these.
We got invited means Dorley is going with you?
Yeah.
Nice. I didn't know that. How about Nando?
And then, no, he has a complicated work situation with whatever his visa is and whatever job he has. I don't really know. I think Dorley knows more than I do, but whatever it is, he can't take time off then. So he's got to watch them Belgian kids. Mm. Those little Belgian freaks.
Little rascal. Take them on a field trip to Argentina.
Maybe.
It's a work-related trip.
Yeah. You know, actually, this is kind of topical, but I don't, I forgot to tell you this last time or any time that we spoke recently. The last time I hung out with Charlie, he was very big on, Adrian, you know what you should do as a career? Which is, he was like, you would be like a really good like equity lead for like a tech business. And I was like, Charlie, if there's one thing I never want to be, it's counter-revolutionary. And I can't think of anything more counter-revolutionary than equity lead.
That job was literally...
at a tech business.
I'm sorry, Charlie. I get why you think that, but it also feels like a monkey's paw situation. Like, it just barely feels like something appropriate for Adrian that would drive him insane 100%. To actually do that. Could you not just see Adrian slowly losing his mind as he realizes that the company is only using him to protect themselves from racism?
Just a shield accusations, against accusations,
and that they don't actually care at all about hiring or promoting.
I mean, it was a get the bag type thing, and when, like, you know, maybe cause some positive change, but he was talking to his wife about it, and he was like, yeah, I was telling Adrian he should be, like, an equity person for, like, a tech business or something like that. And then Charlie leaves, and she's like, okay, so I didn't say this because I didn't really understand where Charlie's coming from. Is there a reason why you're good at equity? And I was like, oh, like, I've read, like, Charlie knows the stuff that I read. And she was like, oh, I thought he meant like financial equity. I thought he was saying like you're supposed to be their finance guy.
That wrong.
And I was like, no, I think he means like, that like he knows like, that I read a lot of like literature.
Like the equity that you hold in a business.
She was like, I was so confused why he thought you'd be good at that. No offense. And I was like, no, you're 100% correct.
Well, that's why Charlie should have been more specific and said DEI for diversity, equity.
No, it's just for equity. They don't care about inclusion or diversity. they have a different position for those two things.
Oh my god, how many DEI officers in this country do you think show that little comic strip of the three guys with different heights watching a baseball game? They're like, look, this is actually really smart.
I mean, that's basically the height of literature on the subject. So, you know, you gotta have it in there.
I sent you that thing that was an expanded equity verse where it was like even more things, and it was like justice is if we get rid of the fence.
Yeah. Inclusion is if you get to participate in the game, and then conscientiousness is if you point out the fact that Adrian doesn't want to be a part of or watch a baseball game. No one ever thought about that part of it.
That baseball is no fun to watch or be included in.
Yeah. I mean, I get that I subject Tin to all of my soccer stuff, especially when we were living together. But man, he still texts me about baseball. And I'm like, brother, I always used to say the big game's on today if you asked me what I was doing while we were living together. But I'm not texting you about soccer now. Like, you don't need to keep texting me about baseball. I do not care at all.
Cool. What else?
Yeah. So do you want to get into the theme or what do you want to talk about?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's get into the theme, since we actually have extra stuff to talk about.
Oh, yeah. We got some shit to talk about.
Genealogy. Ancestors.
Young elders.
No, old elders. Dead elders.
Damn. All the good ones are dead, I'll tell you what. Yeah, Paul, did you get your full ethnic background lined up?
I did.
Can we talk about this off top? Like, just so really quick, so... The reason that this came up is because I was called before a doctor's appointment by a woman who was like a postdoc, I think, at the hospital doing medical research. And she was like, hey, you're coming into our building to meet your endocrinologist this day. Do you also want to join our study? We're going to pay you. All we do is you take your blood. We take your measurements. And from your blood, we're going to get data from it. But also, if you want to know like your genealogy and if you want to know your health risks, you can also opt in to get that information. Did that like 6 months ago, and I finally got my genealogy results back. So I got my DNA ancestry, which, because it's a research setting and not like a for-profit company, they were very clear. It was like, this is not your ethnicity. This is not your race. This is not like your family history. This is not your family's version of your heritage. Does not conflict with this. This is just telling you where your DNA is likely to have come from based on single nucleotide polymorphisms. Whereas, Paul, your experience was...
I think a couple years ago I got it as a Christmas gift when it was kind of like the gift you get people.
Just giving your information straight
to the Pope. Mine is through myheritage.com. I mean, yours is now there,
no,
too.
No. The research company said, we specifically are going to try our best not to give...
They literally, all of them immediately fold as soon as somebody comes in with a request. It's so fake when they say that. As soon as the police come in with a subpoena, every one of these companies folds. Mm-hmm. All right, Adrian. So my DNA results are 38% Middle Eastern, 36% West Asian, 14% Greek and South Italian.
Ooh, 14%? Mamma mia. My brother's only 6%.
2% Ashkenazi Jew, and 8% North African.
8? That's low.
It used to be higher, but I think they, like, you know, as more research comes out, they...
As the databases get bigger, yeah. My brother's thing is that he keeps getting whiter every time they update on 23andMe.
Oh, that's funny. Have a lot of people done both to compare and contrast just to see, like, wow, if they're completely different, then, like, you know... I don't know.
There's almost certainly got to be an article about that, right? That could even be, like, a BuzzFeed thing, right? Someone's just like, I did all 5 major genealogy companies or whatever.
Yeah.
Whoever has the money to fund that. So I'm 63% Indigenous American, North, Central, South, anywhere in there. 25%, a nice tight 25% European, specifically Spain, Portugal, and southern parts of France, or parts of France.
Ooh, my parts of Europe are not colonized. Our parts of Europe, just interesting. That you.
I don't think that's an indictment on me. I think that's just a reflection of history. And then 12% Sub-Saharan Africa. So Nigeria, Senegal, and Ghana. So I don't know why Paul's always saying I can't pull a Cameroonian, because I'm, you know, close enough. I got that dog in me.
My favorite part was when you got these results back, I was the one that pointed out to you that the parts of Africa that your ancestors come from are the parts that slaves came from. You hadn't thought of that.
I had not, and I did show the results to everyone else on Earth, and Paul was the first one to have his little magnifying glass on there and be like, wait a minute. I think there's something fishy about this specific part of Africa.
Literally, it's like a big circle around if you remembered your textbooks as a kid where it showed the triangle trade go to.
I mean, that 100% makes sense, yeah.
So you have a very specific sort of traumatic genealogy that has been
It really tells a story. What else was...
But we're not defined by our trauma, we're defined by our power.
Oh, that was another interesting conversation with Charlie's wife. Is she was asking me my earliest memory. And I was like, I think like 5 years old. And she was like, oh, okay, so you didn't have trauma in your childhood. Because like my earliest memory is from like my parents' divorce when I was really young. And I was like, yeah, no, I had a pretty charmed life. Didn't remember any of that early shit.
Same with me. People are always talking about memories from when they're 3 and 4. I'm like, I think I can remember some like vignettes.
We've talked about this. Like, if there's a picture, I think I remember it, but I don't actually remember it.
It's like real vague little things. Like, I'll remember, like, a little outline of a house, and maybe, like, I think I remember walking through it, but that's about it.
The other stuff, because they do, I haven't gotten all the results yet, I'm not going to share my health-related information when it comes out, but the other stuff that's, like, fun and quirky is, like, apparently I'm predisposed to not liking cilantro, still like it because I'm not a little baby, apparently I taste more bitter compounds than other people, explains why I like a Negroni, I'm not prone to be lactose intolerant, that's why I'm always eating pizza. Not talking about my lactate in my tummy. Lactose intolerant people, stop talking about your tummy and your poop so much. Not everyone wants to hear about it. And what was the other thing? There were like two. Oh, they got my earwax thing wrong. Apparently I'm supposed to have waxy earwax, but I have like the dry crumbly kind. And I think there was like one or two more, but all kind of like boring stuff.
Back to the genealogy.
Yeah.
Opinions on mine? I guess it's just like very much like it's where my parents are from. It said is where I'm from.
Yeah. The Italian makes sense with your Stanley Tucci look. And then what separates West Asia from Middle East? Where's the border there?
West Asia is like Persia through like the top of Iraq and the bottom of Russia, like the Caucasus, into
oh, so you're Caucasian.
Turkey, sort of. Yeah. The okay. OG.
Did you... So the other thing about the... And we talked about this on the phone, but for the audience. The other thing that it felt like my results that you have to opt in for really did... was really warn you, like, hey, this might not...
Wait, did I call... I just called Iran Persia. I don't know why. Scratch the record on that. Put Iran in.
It really warned you of, like, this might not match what you think your background is or whatever. It felt like it was really coddling towards that. And mine are pretty.
How many people do you think who thought they were like 100% Cherokee found out through the genealogy test that they're just like Polish, German, French?
You know, it's really apt that I was going to complain about them for a different reason, but I was at a bar watching the game, and the people at the bar were all talking to each other, you know, meeting each other for the first time, just happened to meet at the bar. I'll mention the thing that really stuck out to me first, or second, but the first thing that I'll mention is that they did talk about their DNA results. And one of the girls was like, yeah, it turns out, I think two of them at the bar were like, yeah, it turns out like I'm just like 100% Greek, just like totally Greek or whatever, which is kind of embarrassing how white I am. And I was like, that's not what's embarrassing. What's embarrassing is that you guys have been talking about places you've traveled for like the last hour. And it's literally been that meme of like person who calls themselves a world traveler, Europe, Australia, New Zealand. It was literally just like no mention of any other type of place, which I get people call you out for being sexist if you say that, because it's like, well, what parts of the world are safe for women to travel alone or whatever? And it's like, yeah, sure, whatever. But also like just them being like, oh, have you been to Amsterdam? Oh, have you been to I just got back from Scotland. Oh, I went to London to do this. And I was like, Jesus Christ.
That's interesting. I haven't heard that discourse that it's sexist to say. But also, I don't know. There's also the discourse about like travel, like it's, I don't know if it's a good idea to be like, oh, to be woke, you have to travel to the global south, because that ethical also tourism introduces its own host of problems. I'm not going to be like, oh, wow, these dumb people should really start turning Jamaica into more of like a tourist, you know, like or whatever. Like,
yeah, yeah.
They should really start turning the global south into their private getaways.
I mean,
I don't know if that's exactly a woke reaction to people just going.
No. The reaction is that they should never travel. They should never leave. Only visit American cities. No, I've read Jamaica Kincaid. I know how that is. That's why I'm never going to Antigua. I don't want to be made fun of by Jamaica Kincaid. Actually, I just sent in my brother and sister's group chat, I watched St. Andrewism, or I think it's just Andrewism, anarchist, like, solar punk Trinidad, oh god, if I get his nationality wrong, I'm gonna get roasted. Solar punk dude, not from America, who does videos on anarchism and stuff, and he released a video recently about ethical tourism that I thought was pretty good. As always, no clear guidelines, just general discussion about the topic in depth, and then a recommendation that's basically like, do what you think is best based on these factors, which is what everyone's looking for when they watch a video like that. Not just some clear-cut rules of where you're allowed to go and where you're not.
Oh, I didn't bring this advice columnist in, but there was, what was her name? She was like a dear something that helped people with genealogy. Oh, okay, I didn't bring this person in, but there was Dear Myrtle, who was a genealogy advice column. And I didn't bring her in mostly because it was very hard to look through her advice columns because her blog has been scraped and there's hundreds of them between like the, you know, 2010 and 2020. And the only way to search them is on the Internet Archive, which is very tedious to look through. And also because what you were saying about getting very specific advice, she is one of the few advice columnists who's just absolutely not a bullshitter. People provide her with very concrete questions, like, I'm having trouble looking into my family genealogy, here's what I know. And she gives very concrete advice of like, okay, given what state you're in and what you know, like, you're probably going to have trouble finding the birth certificate for this reason, but look for this document in its place, and here's how you go about. Like,
damn,
the most concrete advice column I've ever seen, where I was like, wow, finally, yeah, an advice column where the person put a lot of good effort in and didn't just say vague bullshit. It was kind of incredible.
I'm into that. Would have been hard for us to answer, but I can see why you didn't bring it in.
Yeah. I was looking for a scandalous one, but it was kind of hard to find, and her answers were very gosh. Long.
Was that for, like, Ancestry.com, or what was that? Just her own blog?
No, it was just her own. Yeah, she was just a personal expert in it, helping people, and she answered hundreds a year. She was, like, just kind of, like, doing this freelance for people.
It's did you ever have, like, a school project or just a general interest in doing your family tree?
No. It always seemed too hard for me because I don't read or write Arabic.
Yeah, my issue for me is, like, we just had too many people, even in the immediate vicinity. So, like, there were people that we would meet where, when we were kids, I'd have to ask my sister, like, oh, how are we related to them? And she would know. She'd be like, oh, that's our cousin. And I'd be like, oh, okay, cool. I'll dap him up then.
all day. Well, you're a real untrusting child. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're like, if they're not fam, they're not
That's
fam.
That's what I'm saying. The one story that I have, and this is super quick, and is, you know, I'm making fun of a child, so whatever. I remember when I was a kid, and my neighbor was talking about what his genealogy was. And he was like, yeah, my parents have told me before. Like, it's really obvious. We're like, we're 50%, we're half English, we're half German, we're half Irish, half Scottish. And I was like, you can only be so many halves. Like, even as a kid, I pointed that out to him. I was like, I don't think you understand how percentages work. And I remember that just cracking me up and being something that, like, stuck with me. Was he was just, like, listing off, like, seven things and being like, we're half this, half this.
That's funny.
Paul, are you technically less white than me? Do you have less European ancestry than I do?
What's your white percentage?
Baby, 25p.
Oh, yeah. Less white than you.
Damn, yeah, you're the one always talking about being white passing. What about me? Come on.
I know.
I'm going to show the police next time. I'm going to be like, hey, listen to this episode.
I mean, once again, it's like you pointing out the Caucasus. It's like, I guess if you, like, West Asian, like, I don't, like, Persian people up into Turkish people, it's like, I don't know, they're pretty light skinned, and that's like 35% of me. I guess they're not white. What? Honestly, Adrian, have you not read the literature around this? White is a social construct.
I read the book written by the anti-racist baby. I know.
Shout out to the anti-racist baby. Shout out. He's really pissed at Palestinians lately. I don't know why. Did I tell you about that? Ibram X. Gandhi put out a statement that was real, like, I just want peace for everybody. And it's like, okay, you can't write that whole book and not take a pro-Palestinian
the
side.
Middle East is where you go to have fun. That's not what they're doing right now. Have your siblings done it? Have you been able to do a comparison with them?
I think they have, and I think we're similar. Okay.
Because Dorley keeps trying to use mine, like I said, to be like, man, we're hella indigenous. I'm like, hey, me. I don't know about you, bro. And then once again, trying to explain to my mom how genetics works or whatever, because she obviously never took a genetics class, of just like, why are you and your brother so different? And I was like, you only...
Wait, really? Yeah, that's funny.
I was like, you only passed down half of your DNA. Like, she was like, so wait, the 63% indigenous, that's from me, right? And I was like, no, that's not how it works. You can't figure out which came from which parent. That's not how it works.
Your mom's like, I'm 100% indigenous. Your dad... It's a weird mix of black and white.
Yeah. So anyways, I was trying to explain that to her.
All right. You want to get into columns?
Yeah, let's do it. All right. I brought in Karen Feeding. And this one is by Allison Price from January 9th, 2023. I just discovered my husband has been lying to me for years. All right. Dear Karen Feeding, my 13-year-old daughter, Fiona, has recently become very interested in her ancestry. I supported this and got her a membership to Ancestry.com and helped her gather family records on my side. My husband has been less enthusiastic. He was adopted as a very young child and has always told me he knows nothing about his biological heritage and doesn't want to find out because his adopted family are his only real family. For the record, my husband and kids are best described as racially ambiguous. Most people would guess a mix of Mongolian, Filipino, or Mexican. Mongolian seems specific. We can talk about that later, I guess.
I kind of know what she's saying with those three. I feel like he has kind of like a wide, chubby face.
I see, okay. Fiona has been directly asking her dad if she can look into the adoption. My husband has dodged the question for a few weeks, saying that he'll think about it. A few nights ago, I asked my husband why he's so averse to learning about his biological parents. His adopted parents would definitely understand, and they are very lovely and open-minded people. After some pressing, he suddenly confessed that he does know his biological mother's name and heritage and is known for years. His heritage is American Indigenous. I was shocked and hurt at this information, as it meant that he'd been lying to me for years. I asked him why, and he confessed that he's always been embarrassed about being Indigenous, to come from people who were, and I quote, pretty much all alcoholics living on welfare.
Whoa, what a twist.
This is very out of character for him. We live in a southern state, but are both liberals. Ugh, liberals. Couldn't say it, sorry. I got into my Cornell West thing. I was like, I can't say liberal without a little bit of stank on it. He was always said that he believes poverty and alcoholism are due to systemic factors, not laziness or lack of self-control. He even has a friend who struggled with alcoholism, and I never saw him judge his friend for it. I told him he should go to therapy about this, and he said he didn't want to. When I told him this was unhealthy and pushed him, he agreed, but I think he was just doing it to end the conversation and will not end up going. At the end, though, he made me promise not to tell Fiona, and I reluctantly agreed. Later, I spoke with Fiona privately and told her that her dad's adoption is a sensitive topic for him and to stop asking about it. But I feel it's wrong to lie to her and her two younger brothers about their heritage. And when they do find out, I don't want them to think being Indigenous is something shameful to be hidden. Plus, I'm mad at my husband for not telling me he knew his biological family all this time. I know it's a personal thing, but we've been married for over 15 years. I'm looking for advice on how to talk to my husband, and hopefully my children, about this. From Questions of Heritage.
Did you at the start of this think it was going to be one of those, like, fake questions that it was going to turn out to be Shrek?
You thought that's what it was? Shrek adopted?
No, but the Fiona thing, oh. I thought it was going to be like the dad with a frog.
No.
Well, obviously they wouldn't have published this, but I thought there was going to be some subtle thing.
Turns out he's Fiona's a swamp person.
A frog.
No. Fiona's in quotes, so it's probably a fake name. Although you don't meet a lot of Fionas these days. Not a lot of Fiona apples.
Dude, I have no idea how to answer this. What are you talking about? What a twist.
Wait, hold on. Actually, let me remind myself. What's the exact question? How do I tell my kids?
How should I move forward? Like, do I try to force him to go to therapy? Do I let my kids know what they are? That's kind of the vibe I got as a general gist of their question.
Become a part of the community, brother.
Oh, you think they should become young elders?
Oh, let's go in.
I want to know what part of the South they're from, because if they're from the part of the South where from, Indigenous people are like, to grow prejudiced would be hard because it's honestly not that many like reservations.
Yeah, what are they like calling Oklahoma the South, or what are we doing here?
Yeah, did he learn this prejudice from media, or did he grow up in a part of the South? Maybe like more like Texas where there were reservations, mm-hmm. or Oklahoma. Like, are they being liberal? Much like they are liberals, are they being mm-hmm. liberal with the term South here?
I mean, Texas is South.
Or maybe there are, yeah, maybe there are more like Louisiana. Does Louisiana have reservations? I don't know, but maybe.
Maybe. I mean, I knew.
How many reservations are in the South?
I for sure knew one Native kid growing up. He was on my soccer team and I thought he was Latino for the longest time.
Yeah, but the Native people we knew were from Native families who'd moved back to the area, right? Mm-hmm. We didn't really, like, grow up around Native communities. Like, any prejudice somebody from South Carolina had against Native people was, like, learned from media. There's no way it's like, oh, yeah. You know, like, some sort of community-based thing. Oh, I'm looking. There is a, in North Carolina, right? There's some, in North Carolina, and it looks like, Mississippi. And Mississippi and Louisiana have some.
Okay.
But then it gets like a lot more, obviously, in Oklahoma and out west.
Yeah.
But yeah, zero in South Carolina and Georgia and Florida and very few in Alabama.
Okay. Yeah. So, okay, you're questioning where it's coming from, and that's going to address how you address it, or what's the.
I think so, right? Like, he's a good liberal guy.
Yeah.
You know, he. He believes in second chances, and racism is bad. He has one of those signs in his front yard that's like, in this house, we believe having secret Native American heritage is not shameful. He has one of those signs in his front yard. So this was really shocking for the wife to find
out. Yeah, I mean, they add so many lines to that when you might as well put that in there. No one's going to notice. I don't know. It ended up not being the case because he obviously knows at least something about his biological parents, but, you know. If I already brought in one joke, might as well bring in another. Joe DeRosa? You remember that one?
What's Joe DeRosa's?
I'm adopted, and people are always like, so when are you like going to go try and like find your biological parents or whatever? And he's like, they put me up for adoption. I took the hint.
That is funny. For Joe DeRosa is really tall, too. Just like consider it a blessing that you got to be tall and take that as a gift from your parents and move on.
Get to be tall? Get to be on Better Call Saul?
Ooh. Is that why they cast him?
Mm-hmm.
Because it rhymed?
Yeah.
Anyway, what would be your advice for this guy?
Oh, for the guy, not the wife?
For the wife. What would be your advice for this question asker?
This isn't a dump him, honey situation because you're dealing with internalized racism. And I don't think that makes him a bad person.
No, I don't think it counts as internalized racism if you never belonged to your group ethnically. I think that's externalized racism. Manifesting in a weird way.
But he knew he was a part of the community, though.
Did he? I thought the implication was he might have not found out till he was older, till his adoptive parents told him, and he'd already been racist.
I don't think so. I think he always knew. He just kept it secret from his wife.
Oh, he always knew. Okay, so he always, at some young age, he internalized the fact that he was Native American.
And he said, I'm not going to let that hold me back. I'm going to marry a nice white woman. A nice liberal white woman.
And he let that make him hateful towards only Native American people and otherwise be a accepting person.
Yeah.
Do you think, not to get like all Freudian about this, do you think there's an element of anger at his own parents for giving him up that's leading to his racism? Like, if my mom and dad were bad enough to give me up that because they didn't love me, they must all be bad people.
I'm telling you what, kids who are put up for adoption, the worst people to try and Rickroll.
Because?
Never gonna give you.
They're like, that's not true, man. They close out of the tab so quick.
Oh, God. I can imagine someone doing that to someone. That's so funny. It would be really funny if he was even more revealing. And he was like, they're pretty much all alcoholics living on welfare who give up their children to white people.
Hey, you know, my advice, whenever you encounter a racist guy, pass him the peace pipe. Come on now.
Hey, come on now. Yeah, this is complex. I don't know. Are you saying it is a dump him, honey situation? Break up this family?
No, but like, I don't know. Maybe it's like you've touched on something so deep and dark in his psyche that like, maybe just wrap that one back up in a box, tuck it in the closet, and never look at that problem.
So you're saying don't tell the kids?
I don't. Let them do their own genealogy thing and figure it out.
All right.
No. I'm joking. That's clearly a terrible idea. All of you guys should dress up in really offensive Native American costumes, and when he comes home one day, you do a racism intervention.
Ooh, how it's affected them. If you don't tell your kids and they get a 23andMe, and if it's as vague as mine, if they look Mexican, they'll probably just think the Americas means Mexico. Like, it's literally all of America. So mine is not precise enough to really, like, they wouldn't dispel anything that they already thought about themselves.
Which yours was really funny, because, like, it then defined Americas in it by being like North America, Central America, or South America. And it's like, thank you. Thank you, DNA test. I didn't know what the Americas were.
And America Ferrera.
The America. North America.
You might be related to America Ferrera. Oh, you know what I almost brought in, but I know it's not an advice column. But do you know that really famous Reddit story about the guy with the adopted kid? He adopts the kid and he thinks that like the best thing to do for his kid is not to know anything about the birth parents or something. So he raises his kid to be a proud Chinese boy. And he finds out when he reaches back out to the parents like 18 years later that they're Korean and not Chinese. And so he spent his entire life trying to learn Chinese. He taught his kid Mandarin. He learned Mandarin. He like taught him all about the culture of China. And then at the end of 18 years, he was like, yeah, turns out you're Korean.
Did no, like, because don't, like, Chinese and Korean people, can't they, like, very easily tell each other apart? Did nobody ever, like, Chinese just tell him he was Korean?
Apparently, well, you know, that's the thing that I think that's also part of the update, is he was like, I started looking at pictures of Korean people versus Chinese people, and it's very clear which one he is. And he's like, yeah, his birth parents' last names were, like, Park and Son or something like that. And I'll tell you what, those aren't Chinese names. It's all adding up. It's funny, too, because part of the post is him being like, my wife and I wanted a child, we wanted it now, and I hate to say it, I think it's fucked up, it's cheaper to get a brown child, so we got an Asian child.
Oh, have I not told you this story before? I definitely have. I think I've told it on pod in an early episode.
Bring it back, throwback Thursday.
No, yeah, many, many years ago, on a dating app, I matched with a girl, and we were snapping back and forth for a while.
Ooh, and, the sex chatting app.
she did kind of send me like this thirst pic of her at thirst the trap? Pool. Yeah, thirst trap of her at the pool. And it, for whatever reason, wherever the conversation was over it, it was something about like, I don't even, adoption. Maybe she, I think she was adopted. I forget what, but it was like her saying like, it was like her saying, if I ever adopted a child, I would want to adopt a brown child. And I said back, I don't know. I think it's a little weird to pick what, like, she was a white woman, by the way. Like, okay. I think it's a little weird to pick what kid you adopt based on their color. And she blew up on me. She started yelling at me over Snapchat. She was so angry.
With valid points?
Her points were that they get adopted at a lower rate, so she feels justified in doing it because it is then fixing the problem of them being adopted at lower percentages.
If there's anything I know, systemic problems are solved by individual actions.
That's what I've always said.
Yeah, that's kind of my catchphrase.
And then she apologized, and I was like, I don't think we're going to keep talking.
Really? Even after you saw her in the bikini?
I think this was all right for us to let go. I think sometimes you can just let something go. You can't yell at me before. Yeah.
Can I ask a question about this thirst photo?
Yeah.
Did she show feet?
Shut up.
I'm just asking if she showed feet for free, because if so, you missed out on a real freak.
Is that helpful? Does that help this person?
Oh, yeah. Probably. I think ideas is just what she needs.
Therapy, right? That's the only answer to this really weird guy who is otherwise not racist but has internalized racism.
Yeah, that kind of Western thinking that therapy solves these issues, but I think really community healing would probably be what helps him the most. Get him involved in the community and get him to know people who are positive role models from his ancestry.
It's so, why would he say that? Like, does he not know how his wife would react to him being like, oh, they're all drunk. They're all poor, drunk, dirty, whatever. Like, why did he think she would be like, oh, yeah, okay, good point. Like, did he not think, like, oh, she's going to be like, that's super fucking weird?
Well, he had to explain himself. What's the other explanation?
I didn't really want to go deeper with this information. I'm just happy.
I know that it's 2023 and that this has a lot of social currency right now, but I wanted you to love me for me, not for my social currency that I can bring you.
I looked into it, and being Native American is actually more about sharing the culture with each other and a lot less about blood quant. That's actually quite offensive for me to try to claim being Native American just because of my familial heritage rather than our shared culture, which I was disconnected from. So out of respect for the tribe, I never really wanted to claim that.
And I know that we both voted for Warren, so I didn't want to try and make that claim to make you uncomfortable.
Like, after what happened to Elizabeth Warren, I was like, could it be true? Could it be a lie? I don't know anymore. I don't think any of us could just go around claiming we're Native American. Not in this climate.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, you want to read the answer?
What was your thing again? I forget. Like, your very serious, real thing. Mine is really pressure him into going to therapy.
I don't know what the right words are. Maybe not owe it. I think the kids should know what their ancestry is.
And you don't have any advice for the dad? Like, just let him deal with it however he...
Let him grow to resent his kids for being so Native American.
Mm. A crazy move would that be if he was racist against his own kids?
And he was like, you're a bunch of alcoholics on welfare, and that's all you'll ever be. Half of you, or half of each of you, is only ever going to be that. And then get him to see a therapist and get him good. If it's from media, like Paul was saying, the solution is good representation in media. So watch Scary Movie 3, where they have the Native American chief at the White House and the president goes, hey, how are ya? Hey, how are ya? While doing a thing on his mouth. God, we're so racist to natives as a country. All right. You hear the answer?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right. Dear Heritage, you need to let go of your anger about your husband's untruthfulness. I understand your feelings of shock and disappointment at uncovering a secret like this, but this isn't a secret he kept from you. He kept it from everyone. Besides college applications, I bet. Come on now. Instead of being upset at the fact that he covered this up, try to understand his feelings and motives, and do your best to support him in what is a clearly very complicated aspect of his identity. Second, understand that while people can intellectually know a set of facts, that doesn't always translate to how we react when it comes to our own personal experiences. I think about the letters we receive about parents struggling with their child's gender identity or systemic racism. He may also know or assume something about his adoption that has impacted his opinions on this matter. I think it was good that you suggested your husband go to therapy, but if he's really not willing to go, and not just go, but openly explore things once he's there, you can't make him. And that might be okay. In reflecting on your husband's situation without having been party to these conversations, I do wonder if this is one of those occasions where not everything that is broken needs fixing. And that's hyperlinked, I don't know what that means. This is from Psych Central, written by a PhD LMFT, I don't know what that is, but broken things are need to fix others. So just some psychological article. Okay, if your husband has been able to lead a happy, successful life without confronting issues about his heritage, you might just let it be. Regarding Fiona, your husband needs to come to terms with the fact that this secret will probably be revealed at some point. DNA and ancestry sleuthing is more common with each passing day. To me, the question is not if the kids will find out, but when. You and your husband can decide whether you are comfortable letting fate decide that timing or whether you want to be proactive. If the latter, figure out a trigger point when he will be willing to be honest with his kids. Maybe it's when they reach a certain age, or maybe once one of them does a DNA swab. This is a situation with no correct way forward. Do what you can to let your husband control the narrative of his own life without outright lying to your daughter. If you can, and you can work together to strike that balance, you can at least rest assured that you acted with respect and sensitivity. All right, yeah, kind of a non-answer.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems like they had as hard a time as we did, like, actually coming to an answer about that.
Yeah, that was a rough one. I think your reaction in real time was very close to mine as well when I read that article. It's like, I have to bring this in. That is wild that he said that. I think you should start bringing it up in arguments whenever he does something shitty.
Oh, you should start being racist at him anytime. He's like, I'm a little tired tonight. I don't want to go to the grocery store on my way home from work. A little bit lazy, like some other group of people I know that you may or may not belong to. Just to make it clear, the opinion of Big Facts No Cap Incorporated is that racism is always bad. You should not be racist to your husband. Okay, Adrian, I brought in Ask a Manager.
Interesting that you wouldn't bring in Ask a Womanager.
Allison Green is a woman.
Yeah, you brought in Ask a Manager. Suspicious.
My nonprofit workplace has started doing circle work with staff and the people we serve. This is apparently a version of restorative justice circles. I say apparently because I'm really not convinced that this is a work-appropriate activity. The idea is that you sit in a circle, an item is passed around that allows you a turn to speak when it comes to you, and you can share your feelings. The goal is that intonation wasn't just me. It was me trying to sell the ellipses, your feelings, ?
Yeah, yeah.
And when it comes to you, you can share your feelings. The goal is apparently that you can resolve conflicts with dialogue and sharing. Pre-COVID, my boss turned one of our regular meetings of area managers into a circle, which one of my colleagues led, starting with an offering to the ancestors and a few quasi-hippie, quasi-religious statements. It made me very uncomfortable, and so when the talking item was passed to me, I asked a few pointed questions to the group about the appropriateness of this activity in a workplace setting where there was no opt-out and the power dynamics were not level. This was not received well. My boss told me that I was allowed to sit out the activity. I responded that because this was a work meeting that I was normally obligated to participate in, that was not how it seemed. The activity resumed, and I made minimal effort to participate. It made me very uncomfortable. A few weeks later, my boss called me to a meeting where she was very upset about my actions in the circle, and I tried to point out to her that this was exactly what I was concerned about. In a workplace setting, there was no understanding or obligation of trust, since when you're at work, you are obligated to participate in job-related activities, and the power imbalance was real and could be problematic. She did not understand it at all. Fast forward, and I've now been asked by a team member at another location to have my team and another team participate in circle work together in a virtual setting. I let him know that I would ask my team if anyone wanted to participate and get back to him. I did not tell him that I would not attend, but I won't be attending. I guess I feel like I'm one of the few people here who doesn't see this as a team-building activity, but something that could potentially be harmful in a hierarchical workplace. Am I overthinking it? This just doesn't seem normal to me.
Did I tell you about a local business scandal that happened somewhat recently?
No.
Apparently, there was a beloved Mexican restaurant that people really stood by in Sacramento, and then it came out that the management was hiring Catholic priests to come and do confessionals with the workers.
That was in Sacramento? I think I read an article about that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think the bosses, like, used that stuff.
It was a Mexican restaurant, right?
That's what I said. Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't Mexican listening spot, to yeah. that part. Wow.
Yeah, that makes sense. yeah. Yeah, that was in Sacramento. Or maybe like in a suburb of Sacramento. It might have been like Roseville or something. But like, yeah. I don't know why this made me think about that. Is that they're going to pass the truth token around and be like, name one bad thing you did at work.
And if I remember correctly, the funniest part of the article was like literally the quotes from the workers where they were like, yeah, I thought that priest was asking a lot of questions about whether or not I stole from the register. or did it clock out when I went on break? I did think yeah, he was yeah. oddly concerned with my habits at work.
Anyways, what's your take on this situation?
It feels insane when you're the one sane person in a crazy setting. I feel really bad yeah. for this person.
Yeah.
I want to know what the because it's on theme about ancestors, but I want to know what the offering to the ancestors was. What was that? Did he kill a goat? What did the manager do? Did she kill a goat?
You think it's like me during a rap battle, just killing goats? Yes, I am proud of that one.
the talking stick. Yeah, just the weird
yeah.
cultural appropriation mixed with like being touchy-feely.
I mean, it seems like a therapy thing, right? Isn't that like yeah. the whole thing from Cheese's episode of Res Dogs in the last season? They do the therapy talking thing. I think for me, it seemed like she did everything right. Like the stick came to her. She was allowed to say her piece. And she was like, hey, how work appropriate is this thing that we're doing right now?
It is funny to use your turn in a game like that to call out the game for being inappropriate. That is the funniest
like that
time
story
to do
that
it.
I told the other, like last episode or whatever, where that one girl's like, oh, this game's getting too edgy for me. All right, last round. I mean, it's not something I'd want to be subjected to. I remember that when I was, it was like first or second year of grad school. It was a group that I volunteered with and did a bunch of stuff with, and Emily was also a part of that group. And she went to like someone's house party, like wrap up end of the year thing. And she was like, yeah, it was fun. They were very like, the guy who hosted was like really kind of weirdly like hippie and spiritual. And like, he made everybody do a thing where he sat in a circle at the end of the night. And like one at a time, we like passed a thing around and talked about stuff or something. And I was like, yeah, I'm glad I didn't go to that. That sounds horrible. Basically describing like this kind of thing, yeah. But for a party, like the party like ended with them doing one of these things.
I mean, obviously that kills the mood of a party a lot, but like this also in the workplace is aggravating for a different reason, not because it kills the mood, but because it's trying to be like we're a family or like there's something more intimate and emotional going on here than like a pure exchange of labor for money. Like there's some sort of like familial or emotional yeah. exchange.
I like that it's corporate culture. I like that the other teams in other places are trying to do virtual circle works.
Oh my gosh, dude. So frustrating.
How do you feel about if your company did this, knowing now that people don't really care if you say, I don't think this is work appropriate?
I'd blow my brains out if we did this at work. I would wait till I got the talking stick, then blow my brains out. By the way, my boss did that same shit again. I didn't tell this on pod, but a week ago, he started asking me about Israel-Palestine, and I went, I really don't think this is appropriate to discuss at work, which I always thought was, like, the magic word. Like, I thought when somebody said that, like, a siren went off, and, like, everything was like, eh, no more talking about it. He kept pestering me about my fucking opinion on Israel-Palestine, and I was like, this dumb white motherfucker is not going to want to hear what I have to say on Israel-Palestine. I kept being like, I really don't want to talk about this. I don't want to talk about this. And so then he started pestering me with his opinions and his bad history that he knew about Israel-Palestine. He's like, well, if you don't want to talk about it, here's what I have to say. It just starts going on about... Here's what happened in 1948 and how they attacked Jewish people. I was like, dude, shut the fuck up. And today he randomly brought it up again. He like, I forget what it was. He was just like talking to me about something, looks at his phone, he's like, Israel's doing this, Palestinians are doing this. And I was like, what is his mental hang up on bringing this up around me? Like, what a stupid motherfucker.
I don't know, man. I mean, he's just trying to turn Hamas into hummus.
Sorry I went on that rant, but God, it literally every time I see him now, I get angry. It has been stuck on my mind how infuriating it is. It's like, I wish I could talk back to him, but that's the problem, right? It's the same problem as in this column. The power dynamic is so screwed up. All I want to do is be able to be like, you are a dumb motherfucker, but you're not allowed to because it's your boss.
Yeah. I mean, that's the weird thing about differences in academia is like my, well, he specifically doesn't like being called my boss, but like he will be like, yeah, so that thing in the Capitol happened. You want to talk about it? And I'll be like, yeah, sure. You're not going to like, this isn't going to affect my work or anything. You're not going to kick me out of the lab.
That's the difference with academia. You're allowed to call Brian a dumb motherfucker.
Not in so many words, but yeah, there have been things where we've like, disagreed on things and he'll apologize at the end of the meeting and being like, sorry, I didn't mean to say that colonialism of the Latin Americas was good or whatever. But what was the other thing I was going
to
say?
That there's no way this guy would be happy if I explained to him my opinions on the situation. He would come out of it calling me a terrorist.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You'd be on a list. You would be out of that company. Yeah. And it's the same thing. Cause like peer to peer, you wouldn't do that either. Right. And like in academia, like we can kind of do that. I remember, a woman in my program was talking about how cool it was that she was like at a protest in New York. And she was like, yeah, Mark Ruffalo was there like against the Keystone Pipeline. Like he's such a cool dude and he's got cool opinions. And it was literally the week where I was like, well, he did tweet out in support of Palestine and then immediately took it back when people started getting angry at him. And people were like, I don't know about that, but yeah, I guess so. Whatever. I don't know what that means. This was like 2 or 3 years ago, I guess. But yeah,
that's funny. Yeah. I remember when that happened. Like that.
Yeah.
He's somewhat stood strong on this one.
That's well, I think there's, I don't know. Yeah, quantifying support's probably not.
Yeah. He's definitely not like a diehard, but you know, he's not bowing to the pressure immediately.
Yeah.
I like Mark Ruffalo.
Hey, you know, white on my nose like a juggalo. Love myself, underrated in the game like Mark Ruffalo. I don't remember the actual line.
Do you want to hear Allison Green's answer to this question?
No, I want to hear your answer, King. Besides killing yourself when you get the talking stick.
It seems like she handled the first one pretty well. It seems like the manager, although they were kind of stupid and refused to acknowledge her very good points about why this isn't appropriate for work, still, like, it hasn't come up again, so maybe she kind of won that battle. Now the next battle is that apparently other teams in the company want to do it.
Yeah, I mean, as long as there's an opt-out, I don't know, though. That really leaves, like, new employees to succumb to these things, and you have to hope that you get the interaction with someone who's like, you can opt out of those, and I would recommend
and
you do.
And it is her team, the way she's wording it, so I feel like she can be like, this isn't something my team does. It really only becomes a problem when it's top-down. Otherwise, I feel like she doesn't have to say, I'll forward it to my team. She could be like, this isn't, like, an exercise I really want my team to participate in.
Mm. So it seems like one of the issues that she has is the hierarchical nature of the company and the power dynamics. Would this be okay in a co-op? Would you be down with that?
No.
So your argument wouldn't be about power dynamics or hierarchy. Yours would just be, I don't like it. Don't make me do it.
Don't make me do it.
Don't make me do it, man. I want to talk about my feelings. My feelings are stupid, man. My feelings are hungry or horny. That's all I think of.
I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I think I'm on your side. That's kind of why I'm pushing the thing, is that I think those are good talking points in a corporate job. Still wouldn't want to do it, even if those weren't the issues.
Well, you're right, but that's more like why you wouldn't want to do it at a party, like Emily had to do. You know what I mean? It's not.
Also, if you're listening, feel free to correct me on what the story is. I'm sure I butchered it. It was a long time ago.
I like that you're that friend to people in your life that I think I am in my life, where it's like if something like that happens, they're like, oh, that piss off Paul. I'll let him know.
That'll piss off Pinche Paul. Yeah, I'm ready to hear the answer if you are.
No, you're not overthinking it. The kind of circle work you're describing is intended to create a safe environment without power structures to facilitate authentic dialogue. The problem, of course, is that work is not a safe environment for people and has power structures that don't get erased when we're sitting in a circle. This is co-opting of a concept that might be useful in some contexts, but isn't appropriate at work. The quasi-religious and culturally appropriative stuff is problematic, too. There's been a trend in recent years for companies to want to bring feelings to the forefront of work interactions without an understanding that asking people to be vulnerable at work makes a lot of them uncomfortable, and rightly so. Lots of people feel violated by demands that they lower their boundaries or share personal emotions with colleagues, and those expectations can open people up to discrimination too. For example, the risks of seeming angry at work are a lot higher for Black people than they are for white people. And pushing people to be fully honest when there can be professional consequences to doing that is a good way to destroy trust rather than build it. Look at what happened to you when you were honest about your hesitations. It's a rare manager who can keep what happened in those groups completely separate from other work interactions. Then there's the inefficiency. It is true that teams that understand and trust each other work together better than those that don't, but you can build understanding and trust in ways that are more relevant to work, like by working on actual work projects together with good management that lays out clear goals and expectations, provides support along the way, listens to and offers feedback, and addresses problems forthright when they come up. None of this is to say that teams shouldn't be open to listening when a person wants to express their feelings. The problem is with insisting that people share them and build ongoing work rituals around them. All that said, if most people at your company like these circles, there might not be much you can do. You can ask to opt out, but it sounds like you might miss info relevant to the projects you work on. You can ask that attendees not be pushed to speak if they prefer not to participate. You can point out that these circles aren't safe if people risk being chastised for their behavior in them afterwards. If the circles are given quasi-religious framing, you can object to that piece specifically. And if it turns out that other employees feel like you, there might be room to band together as a group and express your concerns. Sometimes companies just go off in weird directions and feedback can rein them back in. But otherwise, it sounds like your company culture might be moving in a direction that isn't a great fit for you anymore. And if that's the case, you've got to decide if the rest of the job is enough to make you stay or not.
I like the "you may also like" on this one.
Tamale theft is what made you laugh?
Yeah. Although technically not a word, but whatever. I'll let it go.
Allison Green kind of touched on something that I was sort of thinking about, but didn't know how to word. The part where it was like...
Hey, that's what great advice columnists do.
The part where she said, like, Black women or Black people might be considered to be more aggressive.
Yeah, when they're like, who the fuck stole my tamale? I'll fucking body you.
Yeah, that resonates with me because I've also heard, like, about a movement in the past few years where people are like, oh, like, women aren't allowed to cry at work or it's seen as, like, inappropriate for a woman to cry at work, but it's just, like, that's how I express myself. And I was always... I sort of get that point of view, but I also get the point of view of, like, if a white woman cries at work because of something a Black man did, there's no way that that Black man is not going to immediately be considered a villain by every white person in the office. And in a way, that's kind of unfair. That's also unfair to them. And it kind of gives, like, I don't know. I think the whole, like, oh, women should be able to cry at work thing, I get where you're coming from. I also think it gives you a weird amount of power to make yourself into a victim without by sharing your emotion in a way that maybe isn't fair to the other person.
Yeah, it's like that one book that got referenced in a video essay I saw recently, Brown Skin, White Tears, where they did not mention the fact that that was clearly a play on Fanon's work.
Yeah, I mean, we've all seen enough Karen videos to know the trope. So it's just like, it kind of gets you when somebody's like, I should be able to cry at work. It's like, okay, but are you gonna...
You're crying because someone made fun of a policeman.
Are you going to use it to make a Black man look like a villain? Are you going to burst into tears anytime a POC questions you on anything?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, oh, God. Okay. Nope. Okay, yeah. So the one time when it's not worth telling if I can't say names or at least, like, even get close to it, but I don't want Paul to have the satisfaction. So this is a story about a certain white man that we both know who met someone in our grad group and was like, oh yeah, that person, like, they're, like, weirdly conservative, right? And I was like, no, they're, like, a very far left anarchist. I don't necessarily agree with all of her points, but, like, she's just boisterous and Latina. Like, she's not conservative.
So I don't know. I think there's a reason why sometimes you're supposed to act like a robot at work. Like, I think it protects people. That's why I was kind of trying to use the whole, like, this is not appropriate to discuss at work. Like, the talking like a robot could protect people who are maybe more likely to be targeted at work.
Yeah, and like, you know, maybe if you're working in a tech company where Adrian's your DEI officer, you might be more protected. Hire me, Google. Hire me, Google. But yeah, it feels like you're giving the pragmatic advice that, like, sure, maybe there's some small company of 12 people where they do this and it works great and they actually get better results because everyone has an emotional connection with each other. 99 out of 100 times, that's not the case. It's going to be like a no, just work isn't a place where you need to do this kind of thing. Just get through your job.
Yeah, I think we're on the same page.
Yeah, I feel you, brother. All right.
Yeah.
Did you find an article, or was I supposed to find an article?
Yeah, no, I bought the Ouija board. Me and Adrian are going to be contacting our ancestors. Ooh, spooky. Ooh. Asking them questions.
Mm-hmm.
That was a quote recently that I got from Becca while on a call with her. She was like, yeah, if anybody
ever... Oh, one of those uncomfortable calls.
Calls where she was uncomfortable. And she was like, I don't like calls. And I was like, I'm making you talk to me.
She started doing that to Emily.
Yeah, she was like, if anybody ever pulled out a Ouija board around me, I'd be like, nah, I gotta go. And I was like, okay.
I gotta go.
You gotta take that. You can't bring that into my house. And I was like, what other Hasbro products elicit that response?
That was exactly what I was gonna say. It's like, it's literally a Hasbro product.
I know, that's the funniest fact about Ouija boards.
It's so cool.
For me, it's Monopoly. I'm like, come on now, you know you're just gonna get pissed off when I start winning. Take that out of my house.
I was gonna say, because it's a capitalist game.
But I'm joking. We're not doing Ouija boards to contact
our
ancestors.
And I'm joking. Everyone knows that Monopoly is meant to critique capitalism.
It was made by a Quaker.
The Oats?
No, the other Quakers. Okay, Adrian. So for our third segment, we're doing famous celebrity family members.
We're doing Celebrity Family Feud?
Celebrities who share ancestors.
Ooh, ba-da-da-ba. Don't we all share the same last universal common ancestor?
I think this Oprah Daily. Is
this an anti joke where it's just anybody on Earth technically has a common ancestor?
Yeah, you got it. Okay, so number one up, we have Ho Chi Minh and Halle Berry.
Idris Elba. No. Give me the real ones. Am I supposed to guess? What am I supposed to do?
I think we're just going to discuss it.
Based?
The first one, okay, I think, right, is not very hard to get. We've got Jonah Hill and Beanie Feldstein from Booksmart.
I mean, they're just siblings.
Well, then why do they have different last names?
Why do they have different last names? Wait, is that Kate Bush song about her running up Jonah Hill's enormous body from before he lost weight?
Jesus Christ.
Sorry, he's your celeb enemy. I thought you'd enjoy that. I'm running up that hill.
Maybe they're half siblings. Let me Google this.
I do like the name, though. Beanie's cute.
No, he was just born Jonah Hill Feldstein.
Oh, so he did like a Kendrick Lamar, one of your other celeb enemies.
You son of a bitch. You know I love K-Dot.
His last name is Duckworth.
Did somebody who doesn't love K-Dot know his signature gun sound?
Yeah, that's true. Unless you were on Jubilee's one Kendrick hater out of a group of Kendrick fans and you had to study up to be on there. Did I tell you that their last episode was about virgins?
Mm-hmm.
Their last episode was about who's not a virgin. Or who is a virgin.
Seems like pretty easy to lie to get on that segment.
Their middle ground, I think the time before that, was like popular kids versus unpopular kids, their opinions on things. And I was like, so you're just calling half your kids losers? Video of high schoolers on the internet forever. Anyways, we've already done the Jubilee episode.
All right,
I've already said
next
my
up we have Dolly Parton and Miley Cyrus.
Oh shit, how close.
She's her godmother.
That's not a familiar relation. I already told you before the episode I don't want to do those. That's stupid.
Oh, okay. Is this just because of your dad's whole thing about how your parents' friends aren't your uncles and aunts?
So if we did this article and it was you and me and it's like Paul's Adrian's brother man, you'd be like, yeah, we're related. Brothers from another mother, baby. Come on now. No, this is stupid. I don't like this. Wait, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
I don't know if this is true, but I can say this now that I know that I'm 63% indigenous. Is God parent of white people shit, or what is that?
I don't know. Does that come from Christianity, or
what is that?
Yeah.
So it could be Christian.
I think it could be Christian. In the olden days, it was like the people who got the kid. If your parents died, it was like...
Got the kid?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think now it's more just like a fun title you give out to a friend.
I mean, sitcoms on ABC make it seem like it's just telling someone you're their best friend. It's like giving someone the maid of honor title.
Yeah, kind of. Next up, we have Julia Roberts and Emma Roberts.
So why was it so controversial when gays got married and they're like, I have two fathers. And yet people have been having two fathers because they have a godfather for like centuries now.
Yeah. And then it was always like, well, like Gucci Mane's the father of the game. So it's like, so you got three fathers when you think about it.
He's the father of the rapper, the game.
Julia Roberts and Emma Roberts, you son of a bitch.
Okay. Well, they have the same last name. That can't be too surprising for anybody.
Emma's father, Eric Roberts, is Julia's brother.
Ooh, little Nepo baby.
Kelly Clarkson and Reba McEntire.
Kelly Clarkson? Oh, wow. So American Idol, first season, Nepo baby.
They don't share an ancestor, though. They are in-laws. Reba's.
Oh, okay. Well, that's probably also very common. I mean, that technically also fits, I guess.
The Reba's stepson married Kelly Clarkson.
You know, I don't have any in-laws yet, but it might contradict one of the major points that I have, which is one of the reasons why my mom thought that, you know, obviously my brother and I, or why it was weird that she thought it was surprising, because obviously my brother has a different dad. But that is very much like a stepbrother is not anything. I would never call my brother a stepbrother in any situation. Like, that's just my brother. That seems like other, again, that seems like weird white people, divorce people shit. I don't know if I would call my in-laws in-laws. I think that feels weird depending on how well I know them to just call them like my sister. I don't know. I don't actually know where I fit on that one. I haven't had to decide yet.
Do you call them your in-laws? I'm going to do it just to make it uncomfortable. I'm going to be like, yeah, daddy-in-law.
Daddy-in-law?
Yes, mommy-in-law.
Oh, I guess they are technically your... Yeah. I guess that's when you get married, you get your in-laws
or whatever. Yeah, that's the only people I'm going to call my in-law. It's not mom-in-law or father-in-law or mother-in-law. It's going to be mommy-in-law and daddy-in-law.
Poppy-in-law? Ooh, that's true. I might have like a thing about how they didn't raise me at all. And I'd be like, no, I'm going to call them Jeff and Sarah. Or I guess Kim and Carol.
I thought you didn't want to get married. Why are you putting so much thought into this as somebody who's never planning on getting married?
I was thinking about the fact that, you know, like how you like to do your thing to make sure that your like logic is consistent.
Yeah.
I'm doing my thing where I'm like, am I being consistent in my logic that I would just call them like what they are to me without the extra additives that people like to put onto things? But I don't know. All right, who's the next one?
Have you heard of Dakota and
Fanning?
Ellie L.
Johnson?
Dakota and L. Fanning?
I haven't heard of the second one.
Well, they're sisters, but they're also related to Kate Middleton.
Oh. When L. Fanning was young and people were like passing the baby around to hold up the first time, were they like, hey, hold this L?
Oh, yeah, right here at the bottom of the Oprah Daily article. Yeah, it says so.
Oh, there's an asterisk, actually right at the bottom.
That's crazy.
All right, what's the next one? Wait, did you have anything to say about that one?
Oh, and it's because the Fanning sisters are descendants of British royalty, so...
God damn Nepo babies everywhere, dude.
Jenny McCarthy and Melissa McCarthy.
Okay, Melissa is the one who is...
She's the comedian.
Okay, and Jenna is the weight loss person?
Isn't she the Playboy model?
Oh.
And Melissa McCarthy is like from Spy, right? She's like that comedian.
She's from the one with Sandra Bullock, right?
She's in Bridesmaids and Spy in the Heat. Okay. Yeah, with Sandra Bullock.
Yeah. Oh, that one's actually kind of interesting. That is one where I thought McCarthy was just kind of enough of a
generic common name
that you wouldn't expect that. Yeah.
Ooh, you're going to love this one. Who do you think Stanley Tucci is related to?
House of Tucci?
The House of Tucci. No, Emily Blunt.
I was going to say that. You didn't give me a chance to do my non-joke answer.
He married her sister. Yeah. And they starred in The Devil Wears Prada together. He was a great character in that because he's like that guy who's at first he's intimidating, but then he's her friend.
Heart of gold.
Yeah.
Wait, how old was Stanley Tucci? Okay. This is going to be embarrassing. If you gave me a guess of how old Stanley Tucci was, I have no possible clue. Was he young in that movie or was he like still kind of old in that movie?
He was still kind of old in that movie. He was already kind of old when he was in The Terminal. He was born in 1960. Movie? He's 62. He does look really young for 62.
Holy shit, he looks... It's all that San Pellegrino he's drinking.
Tracy Ellis Ross, a mom from Black-ish, related to Diana Ross.
I was going to say I knew that one, but I guess I can't prove it now.
Do you want me to edit it in so it sounds like you got it in first?
No, I was probably going to guess someone different. I didn't actually know that one.
You were going to be like, Tracy Ellis
Ross. I was like, Ross from Friends?
God damn it. And they're all related to DJ Ross from Friends?
And they're all related to Ross Dress for Less.
So many of these are like everywhere. One famous person and one like person you don't recognize. It's like, okay. Oh, this one you definitely know, but I'll test your memory.
I was about to say, are we essentially doing that show that was big like a year ago where it was just like a house of people who were related to famous people and they had to figure out who they were related to?
I don't know if that show was big.
Oh, it was massive. You couldn't go anywhere without someone talking about
Quincy
it.
Quincy Jones is father to...
Oh. No, Quincy Jones is the father of Michael Jackson.
Rashida Jones.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Lenny Kravitz and...
Zoe Kravitz?
No.
Lenny Kravitz. Prince.
No, think NBC News weather anchor.
Al Roker?
Yeah.
Damn. Okay, that makes sense.
That might have been too big a clue now that I think about it.
Think rhymes with Joker, ABC, weatherman.
Do you know who Grace Gummer is? Her name is Grace Gummer, G-U-M-M-E-R. Do you know who that is?
If it's alliterative, I kind of assume it's a porn star, but...
No, she's an actress. She's been in Mr. Robot and Dr. Death. Oh, she was in Francis.
Domo Arigato.
She's related to Meryl Streep, but once again, so much less interesting because she's so much less famous than Meryl Streep.
Yeah. Still a little Nepo baby. I know how she got her foot in the door.
Who do you think Ralph Fiennes is related to?
Ralph Fiennes?
Is that not how you pronounce it? Is it?
I don't know who that is.
He's more in British stuff. I guess he wouldn't know.
Oh, Ralph Fiennes. Oh, you're talking about them.
The chef from The Menu.
Oh.
Voldemort.
He's British? Oh. So he must be related to the Queen's Corgi.
Yeah, he is related to Prince Charles.
That's what I call him, baby.
Yeah, they're eighth cousins to the Prince Charles part of the royalty.
Yeah, no wonder he got that lead role in The Menu. I auditioned for it. I didn't get it. Maybe because I'm not eighth cousins to the royalty.
The next one is Solange Knowles and...
Jay-Z.
Yeah, they're because in-laws. Jay-Z actually married Solange's sister.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. Okay, so you know that Nicolas Cage is a Coppola, so I won't tell you that interesting part. Who else is a Coppola in this? They put three people here. Nicholas, Sophia, and...
Jared from Subway?
No.
Wait, hold up. Coppola is an Italian name, right? Is Nick Cage Italian? He looks more like English, like just straight up like...
He's part of the family. I think he's the nephew.
Yeah, yeah. I know that, yeah.
Francis
yeah,
okay. Ford.
Or Coppola, Sophia Coppola, Nick Cage, Marlon Brando.
No. Okay, I'll give you a first name. Comedian sort of guy, like he's in funny stuff. First name Jason, last name
Sudeikis.
No.
Siegel.
Schwartzman.
Wait, Schwartzman's a Coppola?
Yeah.
I didn't know he was a Nepo baby. I like him. I thought his work was good. Wait, hold on. What's his relation to Nick Cage?
They're cousins. It's Jason Schwartzman's mother is the sister of Francis Ford.
Yo, that's crazy. They look so different.
Yeah, him, Sophia, and Nicholas are all cousins. That's such a funny, like, three-cousin combo.
Okay, kill, marry, fuck, Sophia Coppola, Nick Cage, Jason Schwartzman.
No, I don't like this one. I feel bad.
I mean, I'm going to marry Jason Schwartzman. He's adorable. I love him. And he's funny.
That's what I was going to say, but then I was going to say I have sex with Sophia, but then that kind of feels mean.
It feels mean?
It feels mean.
I mean, you know, I don't want to get all feminist about it, but all sex that's penetrative is violent, so.
I guess that's kind of what I would let. I didn't feel like Sophia would want to have sex with me, so I would it let felt Sophia inappropriate.
Me. I would let Sophia peg me. That way she's the one committing the violence.
Consent boundary by saying, I want to have sex with her.
Yeah, yeah. Killing Nick Cage isn't violating a consent boundary. He's no, totally I feel like game Nick for Cage that.
Would be like, it would be like an art house film thing to him. He would be like going oh insane. God. It'd be like he's in Bad Lieutenant again. He'd be losing his mind.
As long as the story's good, I'll let Paul murder me on camera.
All right, big facts no cap, get out of here.
Yeah, let's do it, bruh. We learned a lot today.
Yeah. Big fact. When it comes to your ancestors, you gotta show respect. But no, you don't. They're not around. Do what you want. Have a good time.
Hey, come on now. And my no-cap is, it's not about where you came from. It's about where you're headed.